Hey, what's up? You're here with the Black and Jew podcast episode. Where are we, Mike?
37.
37. 37. I was feeling 38 on this one.
Well, you're wrong, Reggie.
As always.
You're wrong. Your astrologer's
wrong. Thank you,
wrong.
Mike. You keep me so, keep me good.
I keep you humble.
Hey, we have a special guest. Yeah. That's right. Two guests in a row, Black and Jew listeners. Two guests in a row.
We're throwing the rule book out.
Yeah,
we usually it's every other episode, but we're doing two in a row.
Because you know what? You don't tell us what to do. And we mess with our format.
Exactly. You didn't buy my microphones, assholes.
Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly.
So we have the ever so wonderful, ever so punctual, ever so great, Jessica Gross.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah, that's all I have. You guys literally gave me no prep because I was 45 minutes late. You're like, you'll see the magic.
We don't do prep. Are you kidding me?
We didn't do prep.
What?
Yeah, we don't do prep. We used to. We used to have articles that we would do and then like send them to each other.
Yeah.
And then we'd read those articles and then we'd, hello, Black and Jew listeners.
Yeah.
Mike, I read an interesting article, and then that was the format.
Preparation doesn't mean you're a robot.
Yeah, I was saying, you sound like you're on the autism spectrum when you talk like that. Hello, I am podcasting for great humor and fun with Black and Jew Podcast.
You guys had an autism podcast special?
No. Yeah, we did. We did. We both got autism for a day.
And, that is the sweetest
for a day.
Thing.
Yeah, it was. It was great. We got those little puzzle bumper stickers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
You guys were hyper intelligent and just couldn't communicate it. That's perfect.
Exactly.
For a podcast.
I just learned about 6 months ago to make eye contact with people.
That is why his room is all white.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much.
So we always get compliments on the house when we have podcast guests come over.
I said it before. It reminds me of mint, like chocolate mint ice cream. It's delicious.
It is delicious.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's in such a nice part of Miami, too.
Yeah, it's cool, too, because it's right next to Calle Ocho. So, like, you can go and get, like, go to Versailles, get a pastelito and some, like, a colada, and then come back here and just, you know, we got all the canopy trees and stuff like that. And then you go a few blocks away and you see some hookers on 8th Street. So, it's really nice.
And nestled into this beautiful little rich.
Canopy Street.
Rich neighborhood. What are you doing?
I don't know if it's that rich. It's, like, just not rich enough, which is good.
People have automatic gates here. That's rich.
That's true.
People
No, they don't. They have gates with clickers here.
Do you know how many Benzes I saw? You know you're in a good neighborhood if you're like, one Benz, two Benz.
That doesn't
three
count Benz. In Miami, though, because they have that in Doral, too. So.
This neighborhood
Doral
has
is
glass
supposed
doors.
To be nice. Whoa. Like,
you could just
doors.
Have glass doors in this neighborhood.
That's true. Yeah, I have a glass door. My parents have a glass door.
To enter this neighborhood, there's a coral archway in two areas of this neighborhood.
That's true. I guess it is. Either
you're
that
in
or
severe
a Disney
denial
theme park.
Of how affluent
you haven't
your neighborhood.
Lived. You haven't lived in crappy neighborhoods recently. This is beautiful.
I mean, when
the trees.
Yeah, that's true. The last time I lived in a crappy neighborhood was in college, and someone got robbed at gunpoint outside my house.
Humble brag. This is the robbing, not the college part.
College. Oh, look, Mr. University here.
Your neighborhood
graduated
has...
middle school. Didn't have to go work at the shoe factory right after eighth grade.
I worked at a sheet metal factory and I didn't get paid. All right.
Wow, that's really bad. That's like below working
really?
Class.
That's a thing? Grandparents just don't say
you
that.
You got an internship at a sheet metal factory,
an unpaid internship.
It's like, look, this stamping skill is going to come in really handy.
And then,
it's good.
And that was to get experience to work at the leather tanning. All right.
And then did you learn how to make beef tallow candles after that?
Mm-hmm. You know it.
That's great. My grandpa did work at a shoe factory.
Apprenticeship. All right, guys.
He wasn't even a cobbler. He worked at a shoe factory. That's what he did with my alcoholic great-grandpa. He's a stereotypical Jewish Russian alcoholic who would swig warm vodka from a bottle every day.
I'm sorry. All I heard was cobbler, and it made me hungry. I know you're talking about shoes, but I was like, cobbler.
Cobbler's the word where if you heard cobbler out loud, it's like this could be great in two very different ways. Like, there could be some peach cobbler or a very good shoeman.
I could get my shoes resold. Yeah. Or I feel like the iPhone repairman is the cobbler of the 21st century.
Very good. Very astute observation.
Yeah.
My screen broke. Bring it to the iPhone cobbler.
Yeah, your screen got destroyed today. That sucks.
Yeah, it's the funny part was, so I love, speaking of loving cobbler, I have a job in food and I've gained weight. So today was the day I was going to start working out again. Do you know how hard that is to like, I'm going to work out. So I downloaded an app and I conveniently propped my phone up on a, like a really, really tall shelving unit with no case and just wanted to press play and then ran away and then turned around just in time to watch it hit the tile face down.
Not fast enough to do anything.
A face down fall on a hard surface.
Yes.
Jesus.
And Ollie was like, well, now I'm not going to work out.
You don't work out after like your phone breaks.
No.
You don't. You just...
I had an hour to kill, so instead I curled up on my couch, held my broken phone, and slightly let my finger bleed a little, because every time I swipe to answer anything, it's like glass.
It's an American tragedy.
It's terrible.
It's so weird when your phone gets fucked up, how much it derails your life.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
I was 45 minutes here, and it happened at 10:30 in the morning. My whole day has been shit.
Oh, Jesus.
I woke up with my screen cracked.
What?
Like, I used to, before, like, I would, okay, so I had the IKEA rollout bed, the one that rolls out from under the other bed, because it was like, a weird situation where, like, when I came back from Massachusetts, I didn't have a bed, we transitioned to that bed, and that's what I had for a while. And one night, maybe it's because I did this, but I put this in my shoe.
Oh.
Why would you put it in your shoe?
Because I fell asleep.
Was there an elf cobbler that destroyed your phone?
I put it in my shoe because my shoes were off. I was, you know, very low to the ground, and I'm like, I want to be able to reach for my phone. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a cup of coffee. You need to reach for your phone, check. All right, nothing, down. Mm-hmm. So put it in my shoe, wake up one day, cracked. I don't know why, just cracked. Phone cracked.
That's strange.
It sounds like what nightmares are made of. Yeah.
Oh.
It's the little elves, the little demons inside your house.
Can we go back to the bed? So you had a bed in, like, you had a pull-out bed?
Yes, it pulled out from under.
But so it was two beds?
Yeah, it was two beds.
Well, aren't those like trundles or what are they
trundles.
Called?
Trundles. Yeah, trundle beds.
Did you ever try and get people back to your room?
Yes, nothing's going to happen.
Like, maybe I'll fondle a breast and then you can sleep on the trundle bed. We won't have sex. Don't worry.
I've had sex successfully on my trundle bed twice. Which is the most anyone's had sex.
That's impressive, because I had a futon, and you can't have sex successfully, because if you go too far to the one side,
it tips.
You tip, and you're like, no.
I've had sex on a futon successfully.
Oh, you're doing it missionary.
Right?
Boring.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't put a leg up.
Jessica's sex life involves using the full futon, left
to, like,
and right.
Move around.
Don't be a big girl.
You gotta move.
Don't be fooled by the glasses and the bubbly disposition.
No.
Jessica gets weird, everybody.
Always.
It's like, how do you attach the swing to your futon, all right? It tips over. That's the only...
Come on now. No one's attaching swings to your futon.
Although, I do recognize...
Amateur move.
I couldn't afford the bed, but I got the swing.
Yeah.
I got the swing because I got a cheap bed. Like, it's... I understand your concern with the trundle bed. Like,
you
being a female, if I brought you back to
my place.
What my place that I live with my parents, so... Red flag right there. And then I go into the room I share with my little brother.
What?
And then I pull out from under the bed. Like, I kneel down. Why are you kneeling down? Isn't this your bed? No, it's the one right under it, girly. Wha-bam.
Wait. So you've successfully had sex there. Was the brother in the room?
No, he wasn't. My brother's actually a real bro. Like... My brother's a real bro. I send him a text like, get out, need the room. And he's like, I'm not even here. You don't even have a brother. I'll empty out all my lame shit.
You said it was a younger brother?
Yeah, younger brother.
Not that much younger.
No, not. He's 18.
He's eight. He's like, I got you, dude.
This is the coolest 8-year-old ever.
I'll go play with my Transformers.
Wait, you want me to buy you those condoms? You want me to buy you your favorite brand of condoms? I got you.
I got cobbler.
You got cobbler.
Yes, cobbler.
So you were talking about your job before. I got to be honest, I'm total fanboy for your boss.
Oh, that's so funny. Because when I first started working for my boss, when I first worked with him for like freelance, I had no idea who he was.
It's kind of like a
devil eats pastrami situation, yeah. You know? I'm
Chef Michael Schwartz's personal assistant.
Ooh.
So Michael's Genuine, The Cypress Room, Harry's Pizzeria, all of it. So I did freelance during Design Miami last year, and the girl who had my position wanted to go follow her dreams and write a book. And she was like, oh, you'd be perfect. Like, you're totally chill. You'd be great to, you know, work and have my position. And I was like, I wanted to work with you, not as you. I didn't want to take you. I didn't want to, like, you know, what is that, single white female? I didn't want to, like, murder you for your job. I didn't want. And so I got interviewed, and he was like, you know, I hope you don't want to follow your dreams. And I was like, no, I've already given up on those.
Come on.
I gave up on those a long time ago.
Can I have stability, please?
Yeah. Some stability and a daily routine.
Dude, I'm like such a fanboy for Michael Schwartz. Anytime someone talks about food in Miami, I was talking to someone about him today, actually. Lady from West Palm Beach. I was at Zach the Baker this morning with Christine.
Oh, Zach the Baker's delicious.
Yeah, I love, dude. Like, we were there because he told us. He's such a cool dude. Like, he's such a cool, cool guy. And we went to his, because he always gives us tips on baking, right? And, like, mm-hmm. like how to shape the loaves and, like, you know, how to like,
it's oddly sensual.
I get a little aroused, you know? I'm a little gay for him.
I know what it's a podcast, but the visual is him using a lot of hands and describing this is kneading, you know? Shaping.
That scene in Ghost.
Yes!
Like, Zach behind me.
Picture his Zach beard behind. Like just putting over flour your shoulder. On his hands.
Tickling the back hands of your neck, Mike. And then Christine, what's going on?
I'm making bread. Back off.
Get out of here. This is real man shit.
It's the moment.
I'm getting excited, guys. Stop. Right, I'm getting flustered.
Just
spill the
breathe.
Starter on me, Zach.
Spill the starter.
Isn't it called, like, the mother or something? Isn't there the mother? What's the mother?
Maybe mother's the
no,
other
mother's
word
for
it?
Yeah, there's no. I'm thinking of something else. When you make hummus, you have the
mother. I think mother. That's a baking term. I don't know exactly what. I think it's like if you give someone some of your starter for to start their own starter, that's the mother, think. I'm not sure, but I've never done that yet because every time I offer to give someone my starter, they're like, that's too much work. I'm not making bread.
Basically, like, let me give you my mother. I guess it's all in how you weird, set it right? up. Yeah. It is kind of...
It's because I do it with, like, I say it like that with, like, a creepy voice. I'm like, let me give you my mother.
Exactly.
That's probably what turns people
off. This is the time of year where everyone's like, oh, watch out for this one.
It's the holidays are coming. He's getting sad. His family doesn't like him anymore.
Oh, no.
He's alienated everyone with bread.
Oh boy.
But he's a really cool dude. And, like, when we go there, apparently he lived down my on the same street as me when we were kids. I saw a childhood friend recently and he told
me
that.
So this is destined.
Yeah, like, this is destiny. You need to this is destiny. And yeah, because I saw a childhood friend recently and he's this like, you realize he lived on our street, right? And I'm like, because I always recognized him, but I didn't know exactly who he was. I'm like, where, like, you ever see someone, you're like, you look so familiar, but I have no idea how I know you. You know?
You know
he's
what it
very
was?
Beardy.
Yeah, he is. He's like super.
And he's always in a wife beater. I'm sorry, white tank top. Probably shouldn't call it a wife beater.
He's in a domestic abuser, guys.
He's in. But he's also covered in powder.
A cycle of abuse tank top. Let's be politically correct. Soon, hopefully, change to a shelter shirt.
Did you did you guys like play hide and go seek once, and he couldn't find a spot? So
I'll be honest,
like...
I totally thought you just said "did you guys." I'm like, you don't have to call him Jew guys. Like, that's not like you could just say you guys.
So did you fucking Jews go hide play hide and seek?
There's a better way to ask this.
if have you listened to the podcast?
No. You can I'm say so no. Sorry. So
that honestly, you know that, at least like, 70% of our podcasts guests have not listened
to guys, that's the least, like, that's allowed at this point.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I let Mike get away with, like.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that if we had a longer, there'd be a whole Tumblr devoted to hating me if we
I now
had
have to
a
go
bigger
home.
Listening ship.
I have to go do homework now. I feel guilty. Yeah.
No, you didn't even listen to your Homegirl
Irene's
episode.
By the way.
Oh, it's a great didn't.
You didn't?
She left. She went to New York. Fuck her. No, I'm just kidding. I love her. I love
she
her.
Actually did a freestyle at the end of that one.
What?
No, yep. Every person that comes on the podcast actually does a freestyle.
Yep,
oh,
at the end
look
of the
at
podcast.
The time.
John Vargas is great at freestyling.
He's also great at having kids, but I'm a little jealous.
Zoom,
just like,
zoom,
bam,
zoom.
Bam, bam. I was like, Lisa, he doesn't even have
Lisa's
a uterus.
Did a really good freestyle, surprisingly.
You guys are starting to make me feel anxiety and
don't,
pressure.
Don't worry. It's
don't
cool.
Worry.
Don't worry.
It could be total bullshit. It could be like really generally good. Just wait till the end.
It's not a big thing. It's not a hip-hop podcast. It's okay.
No.
So to finish
it's
my...
It's only half a hip-hop
podcast.
To finish my story, usually
your stalker
it's I'm usually interrupting Reggie for like most of the episode, and now I'm happy to get the tables turned. It's nice. But so he asked us, he was like, yeah, come in at 11 o'clock and watch us shape the dough. So I went there and me and Christine watched him shape the dough. Well, he wasn't there, but it was like his assistant. And they're cool as shit. They're like, hey, you want to come to the back? And like, they saw me taking video. So I came to the back and then we...
had sex.
We had sex. Yeah, that's where this is going.
This is porn. I could see your face.
What I could see the innuendo coming for, like a giant tsunami from miles away. Yeah,
like, you want to come to the back and knead the dough?
Do you want to watch me shape the dough? Bread,
if only he said it to me. Like
and then,
that.
Like, you're kneading the dough, and it's just Zach DeBaker's dick in the dough.
Push harder. I can't feel anything.
He just shapes the bread into a giant schmeckle.
Schmeckle. Such a good word.
And then his assistants are watching. I'm like, yeah, fling some flour in your face.
Yeah, so...
Was that the money shot?
Yeah, well, okay. That's the baker's money shot. The real money shot.
Baker's dozen?
No, that's what bakers call a bukkake.
Oh.
Baker bukkake. All natural sourdough, naturally risen bukkake. But yeah, so, and then I was sitting next to some old Jewish lady from West Palm Beach, and then I was telling her about your boss, Michael Schwartz. I'm like, his assistant's kind of catty, a little bit mean if you... We'll jump on the chance to make baking sexual innuendos, but other than that, she's
I'll
nice.
I'll make sex with everything. I realize I just said I'll make sex with everything.
I will make sex with everything.
You're paid much money.
Welcome to America.
That came to America to get laid. Yeah. I'll make sex with everything.
I'm only from Boynton Beach.
$300 make sex with everything.
Oh, no.
You hide your Russian accent very well, you still need to get a little better in English.
Need to stop making sex with everything.
Yeah, but I'm a total fanboy for Michael Schwartz, gotta say.
Yeah, he has stalkers. I'm not saying you're a stalker. I'm just saying.
I mean, I am. I appreciate that you didn't accuse me of that.
No. I don't know. I wouldn't think of you as like a stalker. Like, there's people who are like, because we also have Hedy Goldsmith. She's our pastry chef.
Yeah,
we have. Like, my friend's mom, literally, she'll just send me articles that she reads on, like, the New York Times. I'm like, wow. Oh, has Hedy seen this? I'm like, yeah, you know, she's living her own life. It's okay. Yeah. Calm down. It's like, she's probably saw that. You know, she's married. Leave her alone.
She Googles herself every day. Yeah. Like, ah.
That's
just
crazy.
Yeah, there's some interesting...
You think every superstar of every, like, field of study or, like, everything has stalkers? Like,
probably.
As, like, with chefs. Well,
yeah, it's funny too, because the same thing as comedy. Like, you have, like, once you make it to, you know, once we've made it to a certain level, which clearly, no, but once you get to a certain level, you have people
we all remember our first stalker.
Unpopular podcast.
Yeah.
Baker's assistant.
I mean, but not even.
I have this one fan that sends me texts all the time, these really long texts.
Yeah.
Like, about how much they like the podcast.
Aw. Is that
my aunt, yeah.
Okay. So sweet. I love that. No, I guess it's just like having a heckler versus a friendly heckler. It's like having a stalker who might murder you. Or you have like the friendly stalker who's like, I'm just trying to be involved in your life more. And it's like, all right, dad, stop. Back off.
Like, you had 21 years to do it. And now there's a cutoff point.
But I didn't know
I was
you
like,
cook
what?
So
I'm 33.
Well.
Don't lie. I mean, thank you.
So, like, okay. But, like, like, does a nuclear physicist that won the Nobel Peace Prize have groupies?
Probably, dude.
Like, groupies?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Or they
stalkers.
Have envious.
Yeah.
Other.
Like in Good Will Hunting.
Yes.
Mm. Even though he wasn't a nuclear physicist, he was a mathematician, but whatever.
I'm like, I just remember vague their accents. Ben Stiller being sad but happy at the end.
I've never seen that movie. I've never seen Good Will Hunting.
I like Robin Williams.
It's a good movie.
It was good.
You should watch it.
Yeah.
But so you like your job, and like, did you do food industry stuff before this, or did you just kind of?
I mean, I bartended, I waited tables. I mostly did freelance for like festivals and logistics and setting up for film festivals and stuff like that. And then I got screwed over for one festival, and then I was I need a regular job. And then I got the most irregular regular job, because it's always evolving and always changing. Opening new restaurants. We have half our team is leaving for Germany to go to a ship that's called the Smart Ship. They leave on
Tuesday. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like this high-tech ship where they have like this weird dome on a crane at the top. So like when you get in this dome on this Royal Caribbean ship, and it like puts you out over the ocean.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And you're in a ball. And it's just you're over the ocean in the middle of that's transatlantic.
Amazing. That is fantastic.
Yeah, I can't even.
I feel like that's gonna like melt
ocean?
A few icebergs.
No, 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 no.
Oh my gosh, I would love to be dunked into the ocean, knowing that like there's a sphere of protection around me.
That would be pretty cool,
right?
Yeah,
just drop
I'd be
me
so
too.
Like, I don't know. I'd be so. I'm okay with like. I'm afraid. I'm tall. I'm like 6 foot, but I'm like just afraid of heights. And I feel like on a boat with it moving up that high, I don't know.
I don't think they do it in turbulent seas. They probably do it.
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the middle of a storm, like, you're going to be a pussy?
I feel like the one person who has Ebola is going to go in that damn dome and just like, left out up
you're
there.
You're going to stay up there.
We're going to
chuck
keep
cold cuts at you. And that's what that's what you're going to eat.
We'll put them in the dome, guys. All right? Maybe accidentally cut the cord, maybe. Yeah. Just plunge them into the ocean.
All the robot sharks that they
all
have
out. All of Texas is fucked right now. Like... They have. They definitely have Ebola. Right
they
now.
All have Ebola. Shit, I'm driving through Texas. Soon,
wait, so it basically just makes you shit a lot, right? And then, I mean, I guess you die. You but die. Like, it's
no,
just
no, no,
vomiting
you
and shitting.
You bleed out all of your orifices also.
Really?
Really?
I'm doing that right now, and I don't have Ebola.
That's just
I do
poor,
it once
that's
a
poor
month.
Dietary choices. That's
no,
not
no,
Ebola.
It's being a lady.
That's not enough kale in
oh,
you.
Oh, okay.
No, those are lady
I got
problems,
where you're
guys.
Oh.
Those are lady problems.
Sorry, lady
problems. I apologize.
Well, no, no, no. But
my male privilege just... I could not sympathize with, like...
Yeah,
like,
you can't
eat
empathize
more kale.
With...
Put kale in your vagina to make it stop.
Just stuff
kale
it.
Tampons, you know? That's the new Diva Cup, everybody.
No.
Wait, but it's out every orifice. So if you have your period out of your ears and eyes, then that's not good.
Oh, that's
good.
Bad. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
Wait, does that start like at the, is it like immediate? Or
are you,
is
think
it,
it's a few
are you
days
possessed?
In or something like that?
Are you possessed? Hanging around any
voodoo?
Satanists?
Voodoo guys?
I'm usually at home watching Fox. Sorry. I'm not trying to plug a TV channel, but I usually watch a lot of their comedy shows. It's actually really sad. I'm
you
like
know,
mid-30s.
Mulaney's show is pretty interesting.
Which show?
Mulaney.
I hate it.
You hate it?
Oh, God, it's so bad.
It's gotten panned by reviewers, right?
I just like... I like it. I like it not because, like... Okay, I'm a Mulaney fanboy, but I could stand outside of that and appreciate Mulaney.
Do you send him articles like, look what the...
you're a fanboy.
Look what
Jessica,
Deadline written
Jessica,
about
does
you.
Mulaney
the Hollywood Reporter wrote about you.
I feel really bad because, like, I seen him do stand-up,
you
and
have?
I think it's great.
Oh, my gosh.
But his... It's so...
My
unlike relatable, and he's like a robot.
Yeah.
Just,
oh, yeah. No.
It's such
yeah, I know.
Bad.
Now I feel like I gotta watch it.
My girlfriend described it
Did
the
he
best
say it's
way.
Such bad.
It's such bad.
It is such bad.
English isn't
it
my
is
first.
Television. Such bad.
I try and make lots of sex, but it's such bad.
Do you try to make sex in front of such bad show? It is such bad
Guys,
sex.
I'm sorry. It was autocorrect. It's in my brain.
Autocorrect.
The way my girlfriend described
Could
it was
Could you duckers
like,
shut up?
If someone in the 90s had a magical fax machine that only received Mulaney joke transcripts and wrote a show about that, that's Mulaney.
Yeah.
Like, that's Mulaney. And I do get what you mean. Like, it is very robotic, and like the blocking and placement of people
is
weird. And like, Mulaney is the weaker actor with Nassim Pedran and like, I forget the other guy's name.
Oh,
yeah, I don't.
Seton.
Like
I can't think of his.
Yeah, but what I'm trying. Well, bottom line is that Mulaney is not the strongest actor.
Yeah,
and like he's basically kind of acting out his stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do like about the show is that it's very like old school. Like it has it's filmed in front of a live audience.
No, it's like the laugh track is so awkward to me because I feel like it's a laugh track, and I'm like sitting there at home, and when you hear like the audience go ha 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 ha, and you're like. No, that wasn't funny at all. That was really terrible. Why are those people laughing? Who pushed the laugh track button?
I feel left out because I have never watched Mulaney, but
yeah, miss much.
Yeah, I heard not good things.
I can't get on board. I'm pretty once I watch one and I'm like ugh, I can't.
Yeah,
and I can't go back.
How long have you been doing comedy for, Jessica?
Oh, that sounds sad.
What year did you start?
I guess it's been, I started around the same time Daniel Reskin did. So I think it's been like seven or eight years.
Seven.
So 2008 was when you started?
Yeah, because I got divorced in like 2006 or 2007.
You've been married before.
Yeah, I was married for 7 years. I've been divorced longer than I was married now, I think.
Wow.
My dad reminded me that he paid for my wedding almost 20 years ago. I'm like, oh, that hurts, Dad. You're still holding on.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 18.
You were 18?
Wow.
Yeah, I was 18. But we got married in Vegas when I was 18. Got married. Like regular, when I was 19, we had two weddings.
When I hear 18, I think just child bride. Like
he was 6 years older, and like in it, I was like, nah, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know everything. I hate everyone. And then like I look at pictures now, and I was like, oh my God, I was a child. What the hell was I doing?
Yeah.
I really like. It's not that I love my parents. I love my parents to death now. But when I was a teenager, I
don't appreciate
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't appreciate them, and all I wanted to do was move out, and they wouldn't let me go away to college.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking now, like in a more rational stance, I was like, man, I really just wanted to move out of my house.
Yeah, yeah. But then the marriage thing happened instead.
Yeah, and he was military, so he was barely ever home.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we got along. We're still friends. Like we,
yeah.
You know, he's remarried, has a baby, moving on faster than me. I'm not bitter. just makes me pressure my boyfriend a lot, who's younger than me. So he's like, whoa, slow down, uterus. Slow down.
How much younger is he than you?
No, he's only 2 years younger, but mentally, he's like 15. I love him so much. He's like, what? What is this? I just moved out of my parents' house when we started dating. I was like, I need you to calm down.
Christine's 4 years older than me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I realized a while ago I would never end up with someone who was my age, because anytime I would date someone that's my age or even a little bit younger, it always ended in disaster.
Did you blow up their house?
Yeah, I did.
Steal their car, run over their cat? What disaster do you speak of?
Well, you know, the first one, I didn't hide the body properly. No.
You made them into bread.
Zach, take your dick out of the bread. I'm trying to hide a body.
I always got along with women that were older than me for some reason. Like, it was hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to develop feelings with girls that are my own age, which sounds weird. I know, but
you're an old soul.
That's how it works. People tell me that all the time. You know, so I guess that has something to do with it, and it works out well, you know, and it's cool because I was actually in, of all places, I was on 4chan the other day. There was this whole thread about why it's better to date women that are older than you. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Why? Because they're a little more broken and sad.
Exactly.
And it's easier to, yeah. And they're more malleable, that you could just like, how sad are you? Oh, that's fantastic.
No, older women without previous marriages is what I'm saying. That's what they said.
Damn. That
that aren't trying to have kids. That's it.
That aren't or
yeah,
are?
That aren't.
There are women out there aren't trying to have kids. It's not like I can't afford them. I don't know if I really, but my body is like,
yeah,
I
exactly.
don't care what you want. You must have babies.
It's like Reese's, you know, your body says yes, but you know, it's a bad idea.
No, I get them every time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe it's good that you don't have kids then. That's.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all broken. I think someone just took like scissors down there and just fucked it all up.
Oh my God.
It's probably gruesome. When I was sleeping. Yeah. And I put my uterus in a shoe and then it cracked. And I woke up and I was like, what happened to my uterus?
Uterus.
You didn't see the public service announcement. It's like, shoes are not a place for uteruses. This is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Yeah. Or your cell phone.
So why'd you guys end up getting divorced? It just wasn't working?
It's funny. We were like 3.5-4 years in. We got separated for a year. We dated other people, which was like my first time ever dating.
Yeah.
And
how old were you when that happened?
21.
21. Okay.
I could drink. I was like, let's date everyone. I dated 4 people. He dated 4 people. So then that number of like, we got back together.
Yeah.
And that number is important because if I had dated more people than him, we probably wouldn't have been okay. Which seems silly, but like.
No, that makes sense.
I don't know. It was like we were still married, but we were in North Carolina and you have to be separated for a year before you can even try and get divorced.
Interesting.
Yeah. So right before we were about to get to submit the papers, they were like, oh, you know, or not they. He was like, would you like to go out on a date? And I was like, because he had used the 3 breakups. When we were dating, he did the it's not you, it's me.
Uh-huh.
And I had low self-esteem. I was just a shitty teenager, whatever. I mean, teenager sounds gross. I was 18. I was 18 when I say teenager. I was of age. But then... And then let's just be friends. And then I got the third one when we were married was, I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Oh, God.
That's the one where we got separated.
You
and then
went through all of them.
All three. Jeez. All three. And I was like, and then he goes, do you want to go on a date? And I was like, sure. Why not? Let's, for old time's sake.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. It was just timing everything. We were then together. Oh my God, there's an adorable dog that just licked between my toes and made me feel uncomfortable because I'm talking about my divorce.
Please stop molesting our guests.
Molest away. No. So we got back together. Uh-huh. We're together for a year and a half. Then he got shipped off to Japan.
Uh-huh.
And we were separated for a year because of his location. Mm-hmm. And we had bought a house. We were like ready. I was 23 years old, ready to have kids. It's a frightening thought now. Yeah. But we just grew apart at that point. Like in your mid 20s, you change so much. He was 30 at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's good not to get married too early just cause like who, like you don't even know yourself. Like how are you going to know who you're with, who you're going to be with when you're that age? Cause you don't even know yourself. You know, like I know I at least look back at myself at like 18. I'm like, God, I sucked. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh, geez. Like I wasn't capable of making any good decisions back then. Except for Reggie. Reggie, however, is not, he's 21.
22.
You're 22 now, but he's not shitty. He somehow managed to not be as shitty.
There's a weird time in your 20s, though. I feel like I talked to a lot of people like 22, like 23. I had a job at 23 making 80 grand a year.
What? What'd you do?
I was an interior designer and I was designing custom kitchens in Palm Springs, California.
You know, 23 is your Jordan year. That's the Jordan number. 23.
I was doing way better than I was ever. Like, I was like, damn, man, that was like the peak. That's when my marriage was great. I was making a ton of money.
Jordan,
you know, and
year.
Then, of course, the bubble burst and everyone stopped making money. And then my divorce and
stopped needing custom kitchens and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So those Dow Jones days. And your life just parallel.
Apparently,
dropped.
My divorce made the economy crash. That's how much my ego is involved in this.
It's like the butterfly effect, you know, but the divorce effect. Jessica cries a little bit, and then
comedy fit into this whole situation? Like,
oh, so I had this brilliant idea to stop doing interior design, and was like, you know what? I'm starting over. I'm gonna be an actress, and then I realized I'm really bad at acting and on camera. And then so I took improv classes actually, and because I was afraid of holding a microphone, and I was really afraid of being on stage alone. And when you're in improv, you don't have to look at the audience really. You're just looking at the person across from you. So I did improv, and then actually Renee Hart, who Fort Lauderdale Improv, she was like, oh, you'd be really good at stand up. And I was like, no, I'm good. And she's like, no, you should try it. And I was like, okay. So I tried it and I really, really liked it, but I couldn't hold my hand wouldn't stop shaking. It looked like I had Parkinson's. It was frightening. So I had to just leave the mic in the stand. And then for like the first year, man, I could not deviate from like, and I think this is the same with anybody. You don't do crowd work. You don't deviate from the material. You're just like, just get through it. If you just survive this, you'll be fine. And then you realize that you don't seem human after a year of doing it. You're like, oh, wait, I have to talk to people. And I would watch like comedians like Ian Bagg, who's just when you watched him do his comedy, and it was like, oh my God, he's like doing crowd work the entire time. You watch him two nights in a row and you realize, no, he's just developed this ability to do crowd work weaved in with material.
Yeah.
And anybody can throw something at him and he has enough material that it always sounds like just crowd work.
Wow.
And it's so impressive that I was like, I have to work on my crowd work. And then, you know, you work on too much crowd work, you stop writing, and then you cry, and then you're where I'm at, who just like shooting the shit with people on stage, and I'm like, damn it.
No, but that's funny. That's really funny that picturing you as someone shaking and not doing crowd work is just the opposite of what I think of you as.
The one time you used to run Lester's, right?
Yeah.
I saw you, the first time I saw you was at Lester's. You were hosting, and it was still the mustache ride with Irene. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you, I'm like, holy smoke, she's really good. And then the second time I saw you, I'm like, oh, wait, now I recognize her. It was at the Wynwood Brewing. I saw you. And then you just have like this way about you that's just like, it's very fluid. Like, it's good. It's like fantastic. Bam, bam, bam. Like,
it's anything. I just try and the best advice I ever got, like when people ask, like, oh, what do you, you know, doing comedy, I was like, oh, just absorb your surroundings. Mm-hmm. No, it's because nothing worse than seeing a comedian get on stage and not addressing the obvious.
Yeah.
Like, there are obvious things. The audience wants to be able to breathe and relax. Yeah, but there are weird things happening and you're not addressing them because you're better than addressing the weirdness. I'm like, And then
then you're just talking into the ether.
Yeah.
You're just, you're not, you cease to become.
You need to puncture the vacuum and like let, oh, now we can all breathe.
You cease to become like the a comedian and are just some guy with a microphone rambling in the room.
Right.
Like you're not talking to anybody.
Right.
Like when it's really loud or something like that.
One of my favorites. It's such an important, because I do a lot of hosting now. Like it's one of my favorite things to do, because you're basically teaching the audience that it's a comedy show, and you're and with me doing crowd work and like talking to the audience, I'm trying to pull information out so that the comedians have stuff to work with, so they can go, oh, okay, this is who this audience
is. It's very calculated.
It is, because if you're not in as a comedian, if you're sitting there watching that and you're not paying attention, you're missing out on such good information.
Yeah,
like, is this a bridal shower? Or right. Like, is this like, is this a bachelorette party? Is this a bachelor party?
It's always nice to have a host that kind of. That breaks down the fourth wall.
Or does a good job, like, in general.
Right.
Like,
well, and keeping the audience, like, alert. And if someone... Yeah. There's going to be times when people bomb. As a host, I've bombed, and it's horrible because you have to keep getting back up there. And you're like, oh, God, why? But there's nothing worse than just, like, you know, having the show just derail because the host is just, like, phoning it in. You're like, no, you could have, like, evolved this into something so much better.
Or alienating the audience.
Yeah.
You know?
When the host alienates the audience.
Yeah, like, that's pretty rough.
Leave that to the people on the open mic.
Yes. The audience, I mean, the comedians will do that very quickly. You don't have to do it.
Totally, don't worry. Or someone will take care of that for you.
Or when the host doesn't know you well, so they make up an intro. And the intro is probably like something like, never seen this guy, but he looks nice.
Oh, see, I always pretend I know everyone. I'm like, oh, such a good friend, come, please. Exactly. Because I've invited you here.
Yeah.
Oh, that there's, as a female comedian, obviously we've all heard like the state, oh, here come the next,
guys,
our one female comedian.
Oh God, I hate that so much.
I'm like, I'm going to punch you in your balls
we
now.
Talked about that. We talked about that with Lisa and Irene, how much we hate the word comedian. You know?
She's not wearing a tutu. I don't get it, guys. But she's going to make you laugh.
That one's pretty bad. Hosts can really kill a show from the beginning. Like the show at, I don't know if you were there for the one with the heckler at the very, very beginning. She was there. There was a previous party at Wynwood Brewing.
No, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Oh, it was they had like a Miami Beach Convention Center.
Yeah.
So it was just a ton of business people, which you usually don't see there. Getting wasted.
Oh yeah, I think I might have been there, and there was like a networking thing.
It was a networking thing. Yeah, there was a few times, but this woman. No, it might have been the one. I lie. It was probably the one before that. There was like a group of 20 lawyers.
Yeah, because I remember the crowd being really good.
Oh yeah, the crowd was really good for that one.
Yeah. Okay.
I
don't remember a heckler, so maybe it was. Yeah, I think mine was.
I just had an old lady moment. I totally addressed the wrong show. It's the one before that where there was like 20 lawyers, and this one woman had two beers, and she literally started making it like a date. Like it was just me and her in the room, and I was like,
that's baffling to me when someone does not get that. Like, you know, this isn't a one-on-one thing. Like,
right.
Like, how self-centered do you have to be to think that that's about you?
Well, and
you
she know? Was with 20 of her coworkers. One of them was her boss, who literally thanked me for dealing with her and then apologized. I said, man, I only hope she gets fired tomorrow. Be like, do you know what you did?
Like, she's like, oh no, she's the worst person in the office. Everyone hates her.
They basically
orders the wrong cake every time.
But the problem, like, I couldn't start the show, and I had to find out when was she leaving, because they had been there for like an hour and a half before the show.
Yeah.
So I made sure I'm like, all right, audience, we're all in agreement. We're just going to get through this until her car ride picks her up, and then I'll do a little bit of comedy, and then we're starting this shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I am not putting any comedian up with her, because then the whole show will be about her.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's just comedians dealing with her.
With her the
and it's
whole
just
time.
Like making jokes about her or with her. And
right. And in smaller rooms, you don't have that. You know, security that can come just take her away.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all the smaller rooms. They're like, just kind of let's see how it plays out, guys.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like she's making us money by being an alcoholic. Right. You are making us no money, so you're gonna have to put up
just
with it.
Deal with it. Drank
beer. We're doing you a favor, guys. So,
right.
I think Forrest is really good. Like when Forrest used to host Elwood's. Like speaking of breaking down the fourth wall and breaking down the bubble, like Forrest will never maintain. He's like, this is stupid. Like, this is retarded. Like this means nothing. Like every time, like we you know, cause Elwood's is a really good room to do.
It is.
And everyone, I talked to some new comics and they're like, oh, I was like waiting. Like I waited like 3 months before I did Elwood's. And I'm like, why? You know,
they're like the nicest, drunkest people.
And it was funny cause Forrest came in, you know, he was in town and it was when John and Daniel Reskin was hosting. And then Forrest was just like, this is the most accidentally attended show in Miami. Who gives a shit? Like, it was so funny because he just totally broke down. that
it's actually pretty true, because a lot of the audience members have no idea that they get confused, because I think they do like a trivia show on the so half of them when they're on accident for trivia or like something else, and
that's
like,
that happens a lot though, and like that happens a lot in the rooms here where a comedy show happens in front of them, like it does. They came in there to like, wait, but you know, it's my wife's.
You're for a business meeting.
It's my wife's birthday today. Like, what's going on here?
And you can only, in my opinion, like, you can only really blame them so much for not stopping to talk and look at the show, because it's like they have no idea. Like, they came. This is the one day that they can be away from the kids or whatever, and they just came out to have a good time, and they can't go to another bar because they're too drunk. And like, I'm not gonna. If you're being like obnoxious, yeah, that's really fucking annoying. Like, if you're obnoxiously loud, but it's like, if you're just having a normal conversation, like, I can't get mad at you, you know? Like,
yeah. I would run a show. I don't know why we ran it, because we didn't even have like a sound system at Lost and Found Saloon.
Oh yeah. I would always see those posters up.
The posters I think are still up. And I haven't done that show in like three or four years. They're great looking posters.
They're
fantastic.
And I remember I went there on two separate occasions, like a few years apart. I'm like, are you still doing that comedy show? They're like, no, because
it was the worst. It's the smallest room, and the people in there do not want comedy. Like, I was heckled by the cooks in the back.
Wow. What?
Because they were just like, their phone ring was a rooster, and they kept playing it, and they were like saying things, and I'm like, if you guys were actually in the back cooking right now, our food wouldn't take 40 minutes. Like, I hate you. Go away. Like, it was just such an anger-inducing. There were so many times that people were just trying to eat, and they were like, listen, I just stop doing sex jokes. Because there was one time we talked into, like, a fake sunflower, I remember, as a microphone, because we didn't have one for some reason.
Oh, my God.
And there's no stage, and it's like a T-shape.
So it's like the worst setup.
It was the
for
worst
comedy
thing
that
for comedy.
A good idea.
So, and the guy would like give us gift cards for food, and people would eat and give us drink. And he was the nicest guy, and he really just wanted to have something there.
Yeah.
Till I had to just say stop. I had to break up. I was like, just stop calling. The show's never. The show shouldn't happen. Like, comedians leave here crying.
Yeah.
Over this, I can't do this anymore.
I love those masochistic rooms. Like, I love those rooms where I just hate my It makes me a better comic just to go to those rooms. Yeah. That just, because I went to Taurus recently, and during the open mic there was a craft spirits festival.
Oh.
And then afterwards there were all these really drunk people, impossible to get the room back. Right. Like De Silva went up before me, and like, he couldn't even do it, you know, and he's way better and more experienced than I am. So, you know, I couldn't. So it was just like, get out of there alive. But what was good is that I didn't walk away, which is something that would have happened when I was a younger comic. I did not walk away hating myself. It felt totally fine.
No, right.
I was like, all right.
It's cool. Like going through the trenches. Like, you got to do your time, then you switch out with another person. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Stay in those trenches, shoot a couple machine gun rounds, and then get out. You know, just...
Yeah. It only makes you better.
Yeah.
It definitely helps you develop a thick skin for it.
I remember the first piece of comedy advice you ever gave me.
Uh-oh.
You said, don't do comedy. There's absolutely no money in comedy.
There's no money in comedy.
Do you remember the first time we met each other? It was not comedy.
It was at
a house party. Do you know Tyler Bronis? Do you know him?
No.
He's in
Was I at his house?
No, you were at...
I don't know.
He was playing, but he's friends with... Because I know you're friends with Matt Berkowitz, Maddie. Oh,
of course.
Yeah, yeah. Because you and Maddie were at this party, and I was there too. And me and Maddie were hanging out, and you were there. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about starting a new comedy. And you're like, there's no money in comedy. You should maybe quit.
Something like that. I must have been going through a bad time. Because usually when people tell me, oh, I want to do comedy, I always like, oh, I think it's great. You should totally do comedy. Know that you should have a job.
I might be embellishing. Maybe you didn't say don't do comedy, but you definitely were like, just so you know, there's no money in comedy.
I think, yeah, I probably had hit like a pretty hard wall.
Because I think you had just moved back from New York or something.
Oh, that was just pure sadness then. Yeah, yeah. You caught me in a really bad place.
Yeah, right. How was the whole New York experience?
The New York experience was great. I just made a lot of really bad decisions. I just went at it completely wrong, and I was freshly single, so I started making out with everyone, and that's nothing you're supposed to do. Yeah. So
like
I
making out with a bunch of comics?
Yeah, because there's so many comedians up there, and
to
it's
make
like
out with.
It's like a candy store. You're just like, oh, you're funny.
I'm gonna just pull the lever on these nerds.
And it's funny. And what they do, of course, all the comedians that are up there are like, ooh, fresh meat, there's these new girls. It's funny, in New York, you'll see this wave of like 10 or 15 new comedians, and at least 5 of them are girls and in the comedy scene. And it's usually every 3 months they get a wave. Mm-hmm. And then the guys tear through them, so to speak. That's probably a bad way to probably say that.
It might be literal. It might be literal in some instances, unfortunately.
They tear through them, and then, you know, it's silly because it's like, financially, I didn't handle myself well.
Yeah.
And then it's definitely what it helped me understand. It's an accelerated program. It's like, here you can do comedy. You can do comedy and probably get up every night or every other night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 3 to 4 times a week if you drive all the way up to Palm Beach or somewhere else, you know. You can get up plenty of times. There, you're getting up 3 or 4 times a night, every night.
Yeah.
And you have a job. And you're just never home.
And a bunch of cute guys to make out with.
And a bunch of cute guys to make out with. I was just like, ooh, yay. See, that's people think I'm pretty and funny.
That's something I told. Like, I always said, like, when I started comedy, that I would never try to hook up with another comedian.
Well, see, was always my rule here was like, no. Stay. And I was in a relationship for most of, like, the second half of comedy here. I was like in a relationship, so it never even like I didn't even care. I was like, get away from me. But then I went up to New York. I was single, and then I was just like, and New York is so unbearably lonely. And that's why you're just like, I'm only hanging out with comedians. And it wasn't like I made out with like a bunch of them. It was maybe like 2 or 3, but still it was like this overwhelmingly lonely, scary place,
especially after making that transition from being married.
I was, it wasn't my marriage that had ended, and
it was
then I went
a
to New York. This was like I was with someone for 3 years.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And you know, it was just like, ooh, yay.
And okay, excuse me, this is a loaded question, but like, so you
shoot
go
away.
To, loading it. So you go to New York, and you're coming a newly minted female comic, and you make out with these guys. Does that change the whole dynamic at all?
Not necessarily.
At like a club or a room or something, or just
no.
It's just like these guys you made out with, and that's it, and that's where it ended.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, most of the time it was like there. It's so incestuous. A lot of I got focused on going to one particular room just because I was so afraid of how many rooms there were. But I would go to this one room, and then every now and again I would try and like go to other rooms, in the city versus, and there's just so many people to know, and you try to get into a clique, and you can get up just so many times. And honestly, like when you go to New York, what they don't tell you is just know that you're starting over.
Yeah.
Know that whatever you've done here was great, but it's no longer that
relevant.
Anymore.
Yeah.
You're now starting from year one, and know that it's going to be another 6 years before you get anywhere. And me going to New York, like I'm 30. All right, let's do this. And then hearing, oh, you're probably like, you're going to have to be on this grind for another 6 years. And I'm like, oh, wait, I want to have like a family.
Yeah.
I want to like have children and get married and have like a life. Not that I don't want to do comedy. I just, it hit me like really fast.
Because there's certain, you know, there's certain aspects of your life that you get fulfillment from that you can't, you know, like that certain lifestyles, certain jobs interfere with, you know, it's like I really like food a lot, right? Like as a hobby.
Right.
And me and Christine discuss sometimes, we're like, we love it so much, like maybe going into food, but like realistically, I'm like physically, I can't take that, you know, I'm too old to go into it. Like if I started maybe when I was like 16 years old in a kitchen, but it's like that physical exhaustion. Like we're like, no, fuck it. Like with the you don't make a lot of money and it's just like physically exhausting and stuff. So we're just like, you know, like that's not like, there's certain times, like I'm not willing to make those sacrifices to do this. I'm cool having it as a hobby and giving it to podcast guests.
Right. Well, it's weird. It's New York. It's like, there's always people who are like saying, oh, don't leave. You know, everyone leaves Miami and goes to New York. You have to. You honestly have to help yourself grow. There's nothing that says you can't come back.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to go there and do that grind, because whatever you're doing here, it's only going to matter in helping you decipher kind of who you are, because you're not going to really catch your voice until you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you're there, like, there are some times when you're, there was one, the only thing I can say, I was there for a year, and my favorite night was when I did four shows in one night.
Wow.
And I watched my set evolve over the four shows. Yeah. Like, you don't really have that here. And yeah, it was like something that was just so mind-blowing, and I got such a high from it. But then I was like, I'm supposed to be doing that every night. I can't do that every night. That's, yeah. I just don't have that. I don't have that.
Yeah.
And then it just makes you respect the people that can do it. And you're like, oh, because you're, you know, when you're here, it's, you're like, I could do it. It's no grueling. Big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you need to give of yourself to comedy and still maintain, like, you know, like some stability within, like, you know, like financially, or like just with a home and like with another person? Like,
you don't own a home in New York. That's not even like, a thing. Like, well, that's not, like, I don't even know how people own homes in the Midwest.
Making a home, like,
honestly, I don't know, because there, like, you're working until, like, let's say 6 o'clock, even if you're freelancing or doing stuff like that, or have some kind of weird part-time job. A lot of times you work all day, and then you go to your first open mic's like at 5 or 6. And then you go to another mic. And then usually there's a show at 8, and there's another mic at 11. And then you can find another mic after that. And you're like, oh, my God. And then you're home. You're exhausted. Just, you go to bed. You wake up and you go to work.
Mm.
It's just, it's nonstop.
It's a grind, you know. It's hard for me, too. Like, even now, just, you know, that I'm not, like, I noticed that my, like, single comedians will go up, like, just every night of the week, because, but, like, for me, like, I want to be home with Christine. Right. And it's funny because it's not like she nags me or anything. It's not like she ever says, she's never said anything to me about it. She's never been like, oh, you're going up too much. Like, she's completely supportive, but it's like, I want to be home with her, you know, like, there's other stuff that I want to do, but I've just kind of accepted that this is what I want to do. You know, it's like, I really can't find myself. Like, if I go a week without doing comedy, like, I get really depressed, and like, I can't handle it. Like, I have to do it.
You gotta do the things you gotta do for the things you want.
Yeah, just exactly.
As simple as that.
Right. Well, and I think too, it's really hard to, I feel like you have to be such an incredible business person and very, in the sense of being able to manage your schedule too. Like, this is the day, because you still have to be normal. You can't do comedy every night. You have to go out with, like, regular friends, because then you start to lose this human touch.
And you lose things to talk about, because you're only talking about comedy. Yeah.
Right. And that's, you'll find that a lot too. Comedians get so saturated, or like, they get, you know, so into it, and they're just absorbing all of the other, all they talk about is their inside jokes and other comedians. And you're like, okay, well, you have to be relevant to the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
You're performing to them. Make something that they want to talk about. And so you have to balance that.
The comedians that are like big names now, they've either managed to find a middle ground, or like for some blessing or whatever, some stroke of luck, they've managed to still keep both ears to like comedy and to like just regular. Like,
I guess.
You know, I will say this though. I will say that I think it's good to develop at first in a place like Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Because like to start off, well, maybe it'd be better in New York, but like I know, like I'm going to go to LA, not New York. And I know that starting the first 2 years there, like I went to some mics and I'm like, this would be a horrible place to start comedy in.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like it's more of an accelerated program here, even though you can go up less, because you get audiences, you know, like you know how to work with a crowd and you can develop your voice, you can develop material. Because like after I went to LA, I'm like, shit, it's going to be a little while before I start getting on showcases and getting audiences and I'm able to develop my material in front of like an audience. So I'm like, I need to get like a solid chunk of material before I go out there, you know?
Well, and that's the thing too, is it's the same way in New York. You're doing 2 minutes on stage.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. That's you. Most shows, it's 2 minutes, holy 2 to 3 minutes you get in front of just people who don't care what you're saying, because they're other comedians and they're thinking about what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing you get to do though, in one night, you could do 3 or 4 mics, do 2 to 3 minutes, and completely develop that joke by the end of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
It's impressive. And there are some people, you'll see them for the entire week work on one bit, and they'll just work it. And you'll see them evolve it, change it. And in a week, they'll have a new bit.
Wow.
It's impressive. You can't do that here.
Yeah.
You may have an audience, but what they're doing there is, you know, and then you're getting the advice. It's communal. Like you have other comedians that will tell you, oh, this is good. You should do this tag. It's amazing. It's impressive to see, especially the people who are doing it right. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
I went about it all wrong. I was like, oh man, It helped me realize I loved Miami, which yeah. I totally hate Miami, but I love it. Like, that's Miami.
Love Miami. Me and Christine were talking about it today, and I don't think it's just because we are leaving, but like we've always said this. Like, I really do love Miami. Like, I love Miami in maybe the way that, like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, I really do love it. And I know.
Suddenly I just start throwing mics. Why do I have to hear this again?
The people that I've met, and like, people talk about how shitty the people are. I've met some of the shittiest people I've ever met in my life in Miami. I mean, yeah. I did used to work in nightlife too, so that doesn't help.
Yeah.
But I've also met some of the fucking coolest people. And especially since I started dating Christine, she's a journalist, and I hang out with a lot of journalists, and mm-hmm. they're the coolest people. Like, they're all interesting. You know, they're really, really cool people to hang out with, you know? So, like, I've met a lot of really cool, interesting, not vapid at all, great people in Miami. And what I like about Miami too, it's so unique, you know, like, what other place is South America in the United States but Miami, you know?
Do you end or get close to the end of every podcast with a commercial for Miami, or is that
yes,
just like,
exactly,
is that how this works?
This brought to you by the Miami Visitors Bureau.
I'm like,
that's what pays
Miami.com.
Like, I forgot to tell her that she can't make fun of the sponsors.
Oh,
we didn't even do the sponsors.
They're gonna call us.
Who are the sponsors? You guys have sponsors?
Yeah, yes, we do.
A sponsor right off the top, Bro Juice. Bro Juice, the only juice that, if mixed with alcohol, becomes chemically identical to a roofie. Bro Juice. Also, Slutty Costume Company, now making costumes for men. And also, their vampire fangs, if dipped in your drink, can identify Bro Juice. So, those are our sponsors.
I really hope they have slutty costumes for children.
Slutty costumes for children.
No, I don't.
You're going to be living under the Julia Tuttle scene.
I know. They don't live there anymore.
Oh, they don't? Where they moved
no,
to?
No, they moved to Homestead. There was a whole thing about it, is when Art Basel really started to really become like a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was always like, oh, this is such a cool thing to do. But once they realized the amount of
pedophiles living under the Julia Tuttle Causeway
and how many people were like disturbed by it, they picked them all up.
Pussies. A bunch of fucking European pussies.
What, they live under the...
They're disturbed by it from Basel.
Just drive over it real fast.
European pussies? I don't understand.
Yeah, of course, dude.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, it was... I always... The first thing, when I first moved to Miami, I saw all of those tents, and I was like, oh, man, I want to go camping. I thought it was just people camping. I had no idea that they were a bunch of perverts.
That's hilarious. Huge menagerie under the Julia Tuttle Causeway.
Yeah, there used to
Where
be...
are you from? You're not from Miami,
no,
which
from
I would have
Boynton,
never guessed. You seem
from
very,
Boynton Beach.
You seem very Cuban, Latina. No, just kidding.
What? I'm so white.
No, you're white as fuck.
No, Boynton Beach, Florida, which is about an hour north. And then I lived in 29 Palms, California. Then I lived in New Bern, North Carolina, which is the home of Nicholas Sparks. Oh, romantic novels.
Oh, I love The Notebook.
Oh, all of his books. It was so cool because I'm like, I live there. I would geek out. Terrible.
I hate The Notebook. It's the worst.
No, they're terrible, but.
Yeah. My girlfriend in college made me watch The Notebook with her.
What? What's so bad about that?
It was just the worst movie ever.
It's so bad.
It's
so romantic.
No, it's not.
It's the worst.
And he's
and
a
romantic.
Creep. And he's sad.
Who's the creep?
He's sad. The guy who wrote her a bunch of letters is like, dude, get the message. You wrote her 365 letters.
That's not fair. The mom held on to the letters.
Yeah, but
he should have known.
If that happened today, there would be a think piece on salon.com about why you need to get the clue and stop harassing.
Salon.com. That is romantic, and more men need to write letters.
Nicholas Sparks has gone under fire because he is homophobic and racist.
Apparently. I didn't say
I liked him.
No,
I like him.
I'm not saying you liked him. I'm just saying, like, just a little quick Nicholas Sparks little tidbit.
I'm a fan of the Gosling. I'm a fan of him.
Me too.
I mean, for my birthday, all I wanted was like him.
Did I say that sexual enough?
You did. It was actually.
Ooh,
I'm gonna just keep talking.
Me too.
No, I just wanted like a topless, you know, him on a tablecloth. Like, is that so hard to make? I didn't get it.
No, that's not hard at all.
I feel like that's a simple thing. It was just ten requests, but that was one of the 10 requests that I had.
Do you want me to make it for you?
Yeah, if you know how to make it.
I've got a giant Epson printer that makes tablecloths in the back of the house.
Creepy thing.
What? He just has a giant printer.
He's Ryan
he's
Gosling.
Allowed to have a giant printer.
Right, yeah. And he's probably printing the dead people that I have nothing. I don't know. He's trying to make that.
I mean, he prints like Japanese anime throw pillows for me, but...
Oh,
yeah.
That just
he's
made
got
me
a body pillow. It's his wife.
Rock.
It's his waifu.
my heart goes doki doki because I suki desu. My heart goes thump thump because I love her. That's the translation.
Do you know what I did yesterday or the other day? I made homemade miso soup. Have you ever done that before?
No. Isn't it just like broth and tofu?
It's a special.
Like, you're bragging, but I think it's really easy.
I'm not bragging. It is easy.
By the way, is anybody else sweating? Like I'm like sweating.
I'm sweating a little bit.
I'm sweating a lot. I'm a sweater. Yeah, my face is hot. I mean, not like the thing you wear.
I think it is hot in here. Like my face is.
You're
hot.
You are a sweater. You're like a natural sweater that exists around your body.
My father,
your arms around.
My father will sit there and eat, and he has a bald head, and you'll just see the water start to pill on top of his head. And so I sweat from the top of my head. Like I went through high school looking like I've been hosed down half the time.
That's hilarious.
I have sweat marks on my, like my boobs are, it's terrible. It's not, there's so many parts of me that are sweating. It's dripping and it's going to my happy rolls because I eat so well.
Your happy rolls?
Yeah, it's like sliding down like a water slide.
I like happy rolls. I'm going to make some cinnamon buns and call them happy rolls.
Happy rolls, definitely.
Happy rolls will give
you
happy rolls.
That's my favorite part. Women. Like, hold on to it? No, like if you're wearing, like if I see a woman wearing like a dress that kind of shows a little like.
What,
like,
the back fat?
Not like, just like a little thing like on the side, like.
A love handle.
Are you going to bite it? Like you sound like you're going to bite it.
Like if she wants me to.
He's like, I like to give
her a grab a hold of it. I've gotten two women to a trundle bed. All right.
Reggie knows a lot. He knows what to do.
You gotta give a lot.
Well, I have a barbecue to go to, so unfortunately we have to wrap it up.
Wait, is this? Yeah, no. This is the end. No, there's no wrapping. That's all bullshit. You guys are pranking me.
Right, no, ready? We're not pranking. Okay, what
who's gonna lay down the beat? You?
I'll lay down the beat. You want to do a Pound Cake by Drake?
Yeah, do it.
What is? What? Right, are we food?
No, we don't have the license for that. So just do it with your mouth. Beatbox, I gotta go. So do it quick. Hurry up.
All right.
Wait, am I supposed to say words?
Yeah, you're rapping.
Wait, I have to rap? Will you rap with me?
No, just you.
It's just me?
Yep.
I'm having such anxiety.
Go. Ah, just kidding.
We're just kidding.
I'm so scared.
We just do that to everyone who has it.
She was about to do it. Yeah, too.
I was thinking. I was like, barbecue. I'm trying
to be nice. That is the whitest. So you're like, hey, maybe a barbecue.
I don't know.
What can I talk about, Bob? I'm texting him.
Bread. There's bread rolling dough murder.
Yeah, but we do that to everyone who hasn't listened to the podcast yet.
Oh, just for man. Fun.
All right. So
that's pretty good.
So this, we have reached the end of the show, unfortunately. But because
Jessica, you've been such a phenomenal guest.
It was fun. Aww, we had a lot of fun
you
with
guys.
You.
I'm gonna cry.
I know.
No, thank you so much for having me here.
Are you crying already? Oh no, that's sweat.
Yeah, that's sweat. I have these Warby Parker glasses, which I have to like pronunciate properly because I said it wrong earlier. But they're so big on my face, I sweat underneath them. Jesus. I get foggy because. Anyways,
that's crazy.
I was trying to see if
so Jessica, where can the people find you? Social media stuff.
Well, jessicaisgross.com is my website. Jessica is Gross is also my Twitter handle. Facebook, don't follow me because I think that's weird. Don't try and add me in private. And I think it's like, no, I'm kidding. You can find me on there. I won't add you if I don't know you, but I sound like such a
my
dick.
Aunt, my
Instagram.
My
I
aunt,
post food
she'll
pictures.
Friend request you. You can say yes to her.
Wait. Oh, if your aunt friend requests me, yes.
All right. So if you're not my aunt, then don't find her on Facebook, but you can find her on Twitter
Instagram,
and Instagram.
I'm always obsessively on, and that's Jessica is Gross as well. And I'm saying Jessica is Gross, like as in, ew, that's so gross.
Well, you know, we know about your sweating thing now, so we know that is accurate.
Oh, I'm so
sweaty. And Reggie?
So many crevices.
You can find me on Twitter at @Ratchet_Reggie. You could also find me on Instagram at @BlackDadaist. And that's what I got.
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Marianoff and on Facebook at Mike Marianoff Comedy. And also, you will find me on Wednesday. I will be at Jessica Gross's Last Call Comedy Show, which is an awesome show at Wynwood Brewing Company. It starts at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m.
8 a.m.
8 p.m. morning comedy show.
Beer, breakfast brew.
Yeah. So it's on the October 22nd.
It's not. What? It's the 29th.
Or 29th, I'm sorry. Yeah. October 29th. Yeah. And it's white people, 8 p.m., not Miami, 8 p.m. So be there on time.
I was like, why are we being so racist about it?
It's true.
Reverse racism.
I have a Haitian Nicaraguan co-host, and he rarely shows up on time. So. Yeah, and my girlfriend's Cuban. She never is on time for anything. So I think, you know, the stereotype is there. And I'm Jewish, and I complain about it. So everything comes together. All right, guys. So until next time.
See ya.